Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And tonight we are talking game one of the NBA Finals. What's up, Corey?
Nothing much, Nick. I have to share this with you because you'll laugh about this. Your sister, my girlfriend, she was telling me that this game tonight was boring because it was so close. Thoughts?
I disagree. We are not alike at all. And that's another example right there. This was... I did not expect this at all, you know, right off the bat. You know, we talked about on the preview, you know, the Cavs and Warriors. The Cavs are clearly outmatched talent-wise, but the Cavs came to play. The Warriors did not come to play. And before we even get into the talk about the actual game, let's just start with the antics at the end. Do you want to start with JR or do you want to start with Draymond and Tristan Thompson?
I mean, let's start with Draymond and Tristan Thompson first. The JR stuff is – we need to hold that. That was something else. But – you know, I mean, I think Tristan Thompson is not going to play in game two. I mean, obviously, I didn't know why he got ejected. That was a really weak ejection on from Tony Brothers in general on Tristan Thompson. And then, of course, you know, Draymond Green starts, you know, clapping in his face, saying goodbye, waving at him. And then Tristan, you know, puts the ball in his face and pretty much punches him in the face. I mean, I doubt we see him in game two. But, you know, I feel like to a degree the Cavs are sick of this Warriors team. And then, you know, at the halftime buzzer when Curry hit the three, you know, he counted 1, 2, 3 and was smiling. This Warriors team is on a next level cocky after barely beating the Cavs tonight.
Yeah, and I think Draymond, for example, the whole, like you mentioned, you know, Tristan Thompson getting ejected, there really wasn't much. If you're going to eject Tristan Thompson for that at the end of the game, you need to tee up Draymond throughout the whole game. Because he was talking way too much shit all the time throughout the whole thing. And honestly, if you lost an NBA Finals game, especially the way you lost in overtime, and someone came up in your face and started clapping like that, I'm pretty sure most of us would do the same thing. I think Draymond actually needs to see possibly, you know, another tech. You know, I would consider even a suspension if he does something else in the series because it's really uncalled for.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's, you know, it's taunting, right? Isn't that what we call that?
And I don't know if you saw this in overtime. After LeBron got to the line, Draymond was, like, dancing and, like, laughing at him, trying to get his attention. Like, bro, LeBron just dropped 51. Stop trying to talk trash. You really didn't do that much. You had a good game. But, like, LeBron literally had a legendary performance in the NBA Finals against one of the greatest teams ever. So, please.
And, of course, you know, Draymond, who's been god-awful from three, you know, he ends up hitting two big-time threes in this game.
Yeah, and they were completely wide open. There probably wasn't even a guy within 10 foot. And I'm saying this as a guy who has really liked Draymond his whole career. I love his skill set, and I think some of his antics are okay, but the way he takes it to another level, especially in the NBA Finals, like, you really just don't need to do that. It's game one, and you're just causing problems. Like, I think the refs didn't really handle that right because they needed to break that up right away. Like, dude, when you lose a big game like that and the anger's your eye and the guy's already got ejected and somebody comes up and is clapping in his face, like, that's just not cool.
Clapping and waving bye-bye, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I mean, especially in a game with this much magnitude, this much on the line, especially with how, you know, the game went into overtime. You know, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of emotions on both sides. Like, I can understand. Cause, like, I've been in Draymond's shoes where, you know, your team's down, you end up getting to whatever it is, you end up winning. So, you know, it's obviously a firing up position. But, you know, you don't need to be a dickhead about it.
Exactly. And I honestly, do you think that we will see Kendrick Perkins in the series to somewhat be an enforcer to Draymond Green if he keeps this up?
I mean, if we see Zaza, I mean, what I'm saying, like, I mean, who knows? I guess we could have a battle of the enforcers out there. Yeah. I doubt it. I don't think we see Kendrick.
It's definitely very interesting. And it was, you know, getting back to the J.R. Smith thing, you know, obviously 107-107 tied game. J.R. gets the rebound right in front of the rim, decides to dribble it out. It looked like LeBron called a timeout. You know, he passed the ball to George Hill, but he did not know that the game was tied and the Cavs needed to score to win the game.
I'll just I've watched the video of him mouthing what looks to be him saying to LeBron, "Oh, I thought we were ahead." And then LeBron, looking like the most disappointed father ever after seeing your report card, walks away from J.R. Smith without saying anything. And I mean, you know, you look at the box scores, you know, the Cavs won the first quarter, if not for the three-pointer to end the second. You know, the Cavs win the second quarter. The Cavs lose the third quarter, but only by 6, which is surprising. And then the Cavaliers win the fourth quarter, but then, of course, they lose by 10 in overtime. And that one play obviously doesn't come down to just that play, because George Hill did miss the free throw that ended up putting the rebound in J.R. Smith's hand. But of course, you know, I mean, what a bonehead move. I mean, unreal. You know, of course it's gotta be J.R. Smith to catch it and run out of there, you know. It couldn't be anybody else, but you know, it's sad. He could have put that right back up too, I think, and that would have been the game.
It was a layup. I mean, JR is getting paid $13.7 million a year to not pay attention to the score in the biggest game of the season. And, I mean, I think it's safe to say if the Cavs had won this game, the perception on the series and the narrative of the series completely changes. You know, winning game one, you know, gives you a ton of confidence. And the Cavs team played really well, I think. You know, they played a little bit over their head. They played with great energy. And it would give them the confidence to really feel like they could win this game. Moving back, you know, like you mentioned, George Hill missed the free throw. That was big as well. But what did you think about that charge that was switched to a block?
Oh, man. I mean, the charge that was switched to a block, and even the reaching call that LeBron got for his first foul. He got all ball on that LeBron on that KD's strip.
Oh yes.
I don't care what they saw. That, and even the they called a foul on George Hill late on Kevin Durant. And George Hill got all ball again on Kevin Durant. There were some missed calls. Obviously, you know, people can say, you know, the refs missed calls on the Warriors too, and it goes both ways to a degree. But I mean, those were huge momentum calls, which you kind of mentioned from the Warriors Rockets series. In that game six, that charge switched to a block. I mean, that's a huge momentum call. And of course, you know, the strips that were called a reach, there was some bad officiating tonight for sure.
And I think after that charge was switched to a block, I want to say Draymond knocked down a three. And then after that, Steph knocked down a three where he kind of cooked Kevin Love. And we talked about it in the Houston series. You know, when a call doesn't go your way and then you're facing a Golden State team with the ability to knock down three-pointers like they did, it just deflates you. You know, it just really takes you out, especially when you're playing so well. And like you mentioned, this Cavs team survived the third quarter. You know, they only lost the third quarter by 6 points, which Houston couldn't say that in the last two games of their series. So I thought that was very impressive. But let's talk LeBron. You know, he lost, but I mean, he couldn't have really played much better than he did. Obviously, he missed some layups, but he was fatigued. 51 points, 19 of 32, 3 of 7 from 3, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers, 1 steal, 1 block. And I mean, it was just an all-time performance.
I mean, at, you know, season 15, age 33, we just saw LeBron James drop his playoff career high.
Amazing. Against one of the best teams ever.
And his 101st game this season. I mean, unreal, Nick. He was a monster out there. And also, finally, my favorite Cavs record, which looked like it was going to be okay. This is the Cavaliers' first loss all postseason when they scored over 100. It was looking good for a little bit, but
I mean, you could argue they should have won the game.
Yeah, no, but that streak has now come to an end. And like you said, you know, LeBron, the 51 points back to that, the guy was unbelievable. And, you know, it's sad, you know, it took 51 points for them to be in this through four and to, you know, just lose in overtime.
And I feel like LeBron could have easily had 12 or 15 assists. You know, he was making some ridiculous off-balance passes that only a few players in this league can make, and it was just remarkable just seeing him play so engaged and defensively put in a lot of effort. And he caught that mean swipe to the eye. You know, you saw a little bit of blood in his eye, so hopefully he's 100% for game two.
Hopefully, and I don't think a little eye blood vessel is going to stop LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I worry about with the eyes is, you know, LeBron has amazing vision. Sometimes getting hit in the eye can really just mess it up the slightest bit. And when you're a guy like LeBron and you're asked to do so much, you know, it could always have the slightest impact. What did you think about Kevin Love tonight?
I loved him. I was about to say, we got to give some love to the boy. You know, he didn't show up against the Celtics. Maybe he just wanted to take our series off because they knew this was the big one. But he looked really good tonight. Obviously, he went one for eight from three, but I really liked the looks he got from three. You know, I feel like at least, you know, three or four of them could have went in easily. He got the looks. They just weren't falling. But I loved his aggression, especially in the first quarter. They really made an emphasis to get Kevin Love started. And I think it kind of did carry out throughout the game, unlike some of the other performances where we see, you know, Kevin Love with a big first quarter and kind of dwell off. I think he was consistent, but just the deep shot wasn't falling for him.
Yeah, I believe he had 7 shots in the first quarter alone, which is obviously getting him involved. And I liked his effort defensively. You know, a few times he did get cooked because he's not the greatest athlete, doesn't have the best lateral quickness, but he definitely put the effort in. That's all you can really ask.
I saw him dive for a ball too, and you know, we questioned his fear of getting hurt. I'd like to see Kevin Love diving for a ball in the first game.
Yeah, and on the Cavs, you know, before we move to the Warriors side, I just feel like the overall guard play from the Cavs, they're just going to need more scoring. You know, guys weren't scoring on the opportunities they had, making shots. Jordan Clarkson, 2 of 9, George Hill, 2 of 6, JR, we already talked about, 3 of 10. You know, these guys are going to have to play better. They're going to have to hit open shots, especially, you know, later in the series as it moves forward, you're going to see LeBron get a lot more attention, kind of what you saw in overtime, and the Cavs players just weren't knocking down any shots, or they just didn't look that confident, especially the guards.
Yeah, I mean, George Hill went 2-4 from three, and he airballed 1-3 terribly. I know Jeff Green missed a couple threes terribly. And Jordan Clarkson, you know, it was an interesting night for Jordan Clarkson. It's, although he went 2-9, he finished +8. And I actually liked when he was out there. I love the aggression, the no fear of going at the Warriors. Obviously, a couple times he looked like he got too out of control. But, you know, a lot of the shots he took, too, I mean, they were good looks. You know, all of his three attempts were wide open. He just couldn't hit them. And I think I'm okay with that, though, if you're the Cavs. I know, obviously, you want those to fall, but, you know, I'm okay with shooting wide open threes.
He needs to get better as a passer, though. His, you know, it's weird. Is
he passed the ball once.
Yeah, as a rookie, you know, he wasn't bad. He had a couple, you know, high assist games, I believe. And it just feels like he's regressed as a passer. His vision isn't there. And he just puts his head down looking to score. Like that one play that kind of sticks out. You mentioned out of control. He tried a one-on-one against Swaggy P. And it just really went nowhere. Yeah. Instead of just trying to pass it or, you know, taking a pull-up jump shot, he just kind of went out of bounds and made it look worse. What did you think about Kyle Korver? Only 3 points. You know, you didn't really feel him in this game.
No, a +10 though, when he was out there, so he did a little. He did something to work out. At least he was on the floor at the right time. I just think this series is a little bit too fast for him.
Yeah,
you know, he's a little bit older. I kind of thought this last year too in the finals. This team, you know, they just run a lot. All the guards on the Warriors run a lot, and I think a guy like Korver tires you out, and you're out there to shoot, and then you know he's a deep ball shooter. So taking a lot of 3-pointers does make you tired. So between that being older and running. You know, I just don't think this is the series for Kyle Korver.
Yeah, and transition D is huge against the Warriors. Anytime you're facing them, you want to try to get back in D, and I think there's a few times where the Cavs didn't really hurt them. Why do you think the Cavs are able to keep this game so close?
I mean, their defense was really similar to the Rockets in the first half, I thought. And that's
just a lot of switches,
you know, and – I mean, I don't know if anyone noticed this game felt a lot like the middle 2000s, you know, a lot of isolation basketball still, you know, a lot of clear outs. I saw LeBron clearing out on Looney several times, and, you know, signaling out on Curry, and on the Warriors side, I saw the same thing, you know, Kevin Durant going against George Hill, Kevin Durant going against, J.R. Smith, you know, whenever there are switches is the name of the game right now. And that's what everybody does. Switch, get a smaller defender on you, then go to work. And I just felt the Cavaliers in the first half, their switching was better. And again, the Warriors didn't have a sense of urgency. It felt like they were out there just kind of toying with the Cavaliers to a degree with how they were acting, at least.
Yeah, they didn't play very hard, and they didn't, like we mentioned kind of in the preview, you know, they didn't take the Cavs very seriously. Also, I feel like the Cavs did a great job on the boards. 19 offensive rebounds, the Warriors only having 4. I thought that was a huge impact. A lot of that goes to Tristan Thompson. Larry Nance Jr. definitely putting a lot of effort. And I think, you know, they were just kind of smart with some of the opportunities. When they had the chance to kind of get in transition and work the ball a little bit and get some easy buckets, they did. I think the one area that really hurt the Cavs, 10 of 37 from 3, only 27%. Similar to the – it's like the Warriors are kind of getting lucky in the sense where these teams are just missing a lot of 3-point shots. Some of it is defense, but some of it is these teams just missing wide-open looks.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, a couple of those threes fall along with some of those questionable foul calls. You know, we're looking at I mean, the Cavaliers should have won this game. I mean, I think the Cavaliers were the better team in game one, which is weird to say. I was watching this game, and at some point late in the third when the game was still close, I was thinking, like, wow, like, this Cavs team is putting on a better performance than I would have thought they did, you know, especially at Oracle in the game one. But, yeah, this Cavs team came to play, and I hope we get some similar level of production from the bench players. I don't think LeBron's going to be this great again. But, you know, like you said, they had a lot of open looks. You hit those, and LeBron, you know, only have to drop 40 instead of 50.
Yeah, I think LeBron's going to not do it in game two, but I wouldn't be surprised to see another 50-point game from him in Cleveland. I just think that he knows that he has to be ridiculous in this series to really have a chance. But moving to the Warriors side, obviously Steph was big tonight. 29 points, 11 of 23, and he just felt like he had a couple daggers. Also 9 assists, 6 rebounds. What were your thoughts on Steph's play?
I mean, he wants that Finals MVP. You know, he looked good from the get go. You know, he scored the first five or six. You know, he was aggressive early. I actually, you know, he had a lot of flashy passes too. I mean, the one late in the game, he had the over the head. Yeah, you know, and Livingston almost was like, oh wow, like look what I found. I thought Curry was good. You know, he was really cocky tonight. You know, he's been cocky throughout the playoffs, but you know, the counting the three to end the first half, jawing at LeBron, and then Clay jawing at LeBron like a bunch of hyenas. and, you know, Curry looked good though. Curry has looked really good actually since I want to say the second half of game five or four, whichever one he exploded on the Rockets. He's been pretty good since then.
Yeah, Steph definitely. Look, we talked about a lot on the Rockets recaps, in the Rockets Warriors recaps, is, you know, Steph has a big game. It's a little bit scarier than if Kevin Durant has a big game. And KD tonight had 26 points, 8 of 22. But honestly, in my opinion, I felt like he was chucking up a lot of shots in that first half.
I thought he was bad. Even, you know, he only had one turnover, but it felt like he had a lot more. I don't know. It felt like he was getting his pocket picked a lot. It just felt like he was careless to the basketball to a degree. And like you said,
a lot of pull-up threes,
1 for 7 from three, 14%, 8 of 22 for the game. A lot of the shots he was taking, you know, obviously some of them he had a smaller defender on, but I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen good KD really in a while in these playoffs. You know, the fourth quarter of game 7 against the Rockets, he was solid in game 1 against the Rockets. But I mean, Kevin Durant has looked like an outlier. Like, he doesn't belong in this Warriors offense.
One thing I will say positive side for KD, he did have 6 assists tonight. You know, that is something we've kind of got at him a little bit. He did pass the ball a little bit. What were your thoughts on Klay Thompson coming back in this game after that first quarter injury? And it looked like he might be out, you know, this game and possibly further along. And he came back, dropped 24 points, 8 of 16, 5 of 10 from three. And he looked solid out there. It didn't look like the injury bothered him much at all.
Now, I need to throw myself under the bus first. Not that I ever wish a player got hurt, but a part of me was kind of like, well, this makes it interesting. If he was hurt, not that I, you know, wanted him hurt, but my initial reaction was, wow, this could be interesting. And then, of course, you know, he comes back and he's a little hobbled, but it almost just made his jumper more even. He was good. I mean, the Splash Brothers were everything and more. You know, a couple of threes that Clay hit in the fourth quarter. It was one of those threes where, like, you saw him running baseline out of bounds to get to the corner. And before he even caught it, he went, oh, if he shoots that, that's going in. And it went in. But yeah, I thought Clay was good despite the knee tweak, which could have been obviously a lot worse.
And I think moving forward in the series, it could be something that could bother him in the next game. But also, like, you know, the Warriors got some really nice production from some of their bench guys. Sean Livingston, who wasn't really great in that Houston series, 10 points, 4-4, some timely buckets, just finding the right space. Also, Jordan Bell played some good minutes in the first half. Looney wasn't, you know, amazing or anything, but he did have a couple solid plays. Obviously, guarding LeBron is going to come with positives and negatives.
Yeah, I mean, and Looney had three offensive rebounds, so you like to see that, especially when the team only had four for the game. And I think, like you said, you know, Livingston being 4-4 from the field, all of them being, you know, right around that paint area. He had, what, 2 free throws, too. But I thought he was solid. I thought the bench did nothing to hurt the Warriors, even though I thought Jordan Bell got, you know, kind of abused a couple switches. The Warriors' bench wasn't a negative.
And JaVale McGee came in that third quarter early on, and he had an impact, and it just kind of got them going a little bit. So, but before we get over to, you know, the best Cavs and the best Warriors, just a reminder, you can check out all of our NBA Finals recaps on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, and Google Play. Also, check us out on Twitter at OTG Basketball. We're doing a giveaway, Nike Elite headbands right now and wristbands. Just got to follow and retweet for that. But, Corey, best Golden State Warrior tonight?
Curry, without a doubt. He set the tempo early. He was moving the ball well. He rebounds above average for a point guard. I think he kind of gets taken for granted at times. You know, he's actually a decent rebounder because he is 6'3 or 6'4. I know he's a little bit taller. But I think Curry was good. I think Curry was exactly what they need, especially in that overtime. I feel like he helped kind of get that team rolling.
Yeah, Curry is a fundamentally sound rebounder. You know, I saw him box out Kevin Love on one play and just kind of took him out of the play, got the rebound. So I think that's always important when your guys are just, you know, putting an effort on all aspects of the game. Defensively, obviously, had to guard LeBron a couple times. It's almost an impossible defend for him, but he does put in the effort and tries very hard. 29 points, too. And like you said, he had just timely buckets and he just kind of got the ship rolling. And I expect, you know, he wasn't even like the Warriors weren't even like fully in Warriors mode. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Curry drop 40 in this game, in this series.
Well, and that's another thing, too. If you recall in the fourth quarter, you know, I think Curry missed his first three shots or four shots. He missed his first four shots. And then the Warriors went, you know, I think like 3 minutes without him even taking a shot. Then he made a three. And then, you know, It just he wasn't involved in the fourth quarter until late, and I think that almost hurt them. They kind of got into that, you know, kind of the off rhythm where everybody was shooting besides Curry. But like you said, you know, Curry is just ridiculous.
Which Warrior do you want to see step up in game two?
Which word do I want to see step
up? I mean, none of the big guys really need to step up. I mean, KD could kind of clean up his shot selection.
That's where I was going to go with that. I think just seeing Kevin Durant play a more efficient game. You know, if Kevin Durant shoots, let's say, 40%, well, this game is never in contention to begin with. Because I think Klay Thompson played well. You know, 45 minutes despite hurting his knee is pretty remarkable, actually.
It's impressive.
Curry with 46 minutes. It was solid. Draymond, you know, offensively had one of his best games around, you know, just one assist short from a triple-double, five steal. I thought Draymond was spectacular tonight, actually, aside from the, the
antics.
The antics, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think just Durant playing a little bit better. And then maybe, I guess, a shout-out to the role players, just don't get beat on switches. Like Nick Young got, you know, he played a solid 10 minutes. You know, just play your role. You know, don't get carried away. Sometimes Nick Young comes in and chucks up too many shots. Even Patrick McCall in the 3 minutes he played, I know he had a deflection, a free throw. I think the role that's all I got. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
And on the call note, nice to see the kid healthy. You know, it was a scary injury he suffered against the Kings, and to see him back, and obviously it's good for him because he's going to be entering free agency restricted. More likely or not, he's probably going to stay with the Warriors now, especially getting, you know, that lack of playing time. But you mentioned Draymond had a solid game. KD, the one thing is like, dude, why are you settling for pull-up threes and mid-range jumpers when the Cavs are not even playing rim protectors? You know, like it's like get inside the paint a little bit. I think that's like the one issue for the Warriors why this game was, you know, a lot closer than it should have been is because they didn't really attack inside. But on the Cavs side, best player. I don't even know why I'm asking.
I think the best player, it was LeBron James.
I think the best player in the world, you know.
Yeah. He was great, man. Like 51, like 19 of 32. Like we're not, a pull up three, the one pull up three he had in the second quarter. I mean, he was great, man. 51 points. I hope he averages 50. You know, I hope this is him setting the bar extremely high.
Ironically enough, before this game started, I was going to tweet out, if LeBron averages 50 in the series, how many games will the Cavs win?
Sadly, if the Warriors were healthy, I think only one.
Yeah.
And it might have been tonight, you know? Like...
This one really hurts. It really hurts the Cavs. I mean, who's the Cav that needs to step up for game two?
I mean, shit, it's got to be JR. This is your fault. You bum. Maybe if you didn't smoke so much, you open your eyes and see that the score. Like, this dude really said in the NBA Finals, game one on the road, I thought we were ahead. Like, bro, like you're sitting at the line about to jump up for a rebound. You don't look up and see 107-10. Like he even had to look at the scoreboard because he wasn't even like, I don't understand. I'm so angry still over that. Like, I am still shocked that an NBA player in the NBA Finals didn't realize.
Not to mention, when you go to an NBA game, I've never personally been to Oracle. I've been to MSG and Barclays, you know, probably hundreds of times. And J.R. doesn't even look up. There's scoreboards all over the place, you know, in the middle, above the court, you know, behind you, on the sidelines, like everywhere there is, you know, the scoreboard. How do you not know, especially with the free throws? There's a stoppage in time. If the game's going fast-paced or something and it's in like a fast break situation, you know, it's a little bit more understandable. But the fact that the game was stopped and you still don't know is just, honestly, it's pathetic.
Yeah, I really honestly can't wait to hear the post game, like the presser. I want to know what LeBron thinks about that play. I want to know what J.R. Smith has to say about that play. because it was awful. But I think between J.R. Smith and I think Jeff Green, obviously we saw Jeff Green play, Robin in game 6 and game 7 against the Celtics. And then tonight, you know, I think he played solid defensively, actually. I was okay with that. He had 5 assists. But, you know, he just couldn't make any of his threes. And if he's not hitting shots, then his value goes down, you know, dramatically.
If he knocks down one of those threes in the, you know, during regulation, it's a different game. But like you said, he didn't knock it down. I think they need him to be better. Jordan Clarkson to knock down some more shots. You know, George Hill to not get in foul trouble. Obviously, some of the fouls probably could have not been called. But still, you know, they need him to stay on the floor so they don't have to play some of the other guys. But moving on from there, what adjustments do you want to see from Golden State in game 2?
I mean, I honestly think we've mentioned this before. You mentioned this, not me. If LeBron's going to drop 51, then, you know, I'm kind of leaning toward you on the fact where I want to take LeBron James out. You know, the Warriors have the capability between Draymond and Kevin Durant until Iggy gets back to throw him some different looks, which I'm sure they're going to do. But, you know, I want to take LeBron James out. I want to make Jordan Clarkson beat me. I want to make J.R. Smith beat me. I want to make Jeff Green beat me. You know, this supporting cast, as we mentioned, is very suspect. You know, Kevin Love at 21 tonight, but, you know, Kevin Love was a no-show throughout the Celtics series. So if I'm the Warriors, I want to go heavily on LeBron James and make the other Cavaliers beat me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think on the Warriors side, you know, upon just actual adjustments in the game plan, just overall energy and attitude going into the game. You know, if they play harder in this game, it's not really that close. If they play Warriors basketball, you know, like you mentioned, they isolated a little bit too much. They got a little bit lazy defensively. They just really didn't seem to care that much. There was a ton of plays for LeBron to get wide open in the lane, get some easy dunks, some easy layups, just, you know, way too many defensive problems for the Warriors in this game. So I think that's just an area where they just need to play harder and be more engaged and take the Cavs a little bit more serious. But on the Cavs side, where do they make the adjustments?
I'm actually surprised. I don't know if you know, the Warriors had 31 assists tonight to the Cavaliers 18.
The Cavs number doesn't surprise me. The Warriors number is a little bit more surprising. Another thing for the Warriors that I think helped them too is they only had 7 turnovers. They weren't super careless. I think Draymond had 2 early careless turnovers. But other than that, they did a pretty good job protecting the ball. But they still didn't play, like, in my opinion, they just didn't play that hard.
Yeah, no, I agree. For the Cavaliers adjustments, I mean, I don't know how much you can adjust to the game plan. I think on switches, you know, just stay active, you know, try and fight over screens. You know, the Warriors sent a ton. You know, just don't give them easy looks, bump them, grind them, make them feel your presence. I think it's the best way to disrupt shooters is by being physical. We saw Dellavedova do it in the past. Amon Shumpert, when the Cavs went against his Warriors team, you know, play physical, get those guys up and under. I think George Hill can do that. I think J.R. Smith can do that. You know, I would just be physical. And I mean, offensively, I mean, it's hard to gauge when guys are missing wide open looks, but you know, I guess just keep having the ball moving flow, keep attacking and kicking out. And then hopefully, you know, the J.R. Smiths, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Jeff Green start having those threes fall.
Yeah, other than making shots, I don't know if there's really a ton of adjustments that the Cavs can make because they played pretty well. Like, I mean, you might argue this is the best road game they played all of the playoffs, other than maybe Toronto series, you know, against the Celtics and against the Pacers. They didn't play this well, and they missing the threes really hurt. I think transition D, there was a couple times in the second half where they just got a little bit lazy. Where against this Warriors team, you literally can't take any plays off. If you complain about a foul call, that's almost a guaranteed 2 or 3 on the other side. And I think just a couple times, there was a couple plays where they just didn't make smart decisions. One play sticks out of my head, and I think Van Gundy pointed this out. Kyle Korver really like hugged Sean Livingston at the 3-point line instead of switching off and, you know, cutting off the backdoor screen, the backdoor cut. And what's the point of, you know, hugging Livingston at the 3-point line? That dude does not shoot out of the paint.
Yeah, definitely some questionable rotations.
Yeah, but honestly, they played really well and for their talent level and the Warriors not playing that hard. It's almost, you know, like deflating that they didn't win this game because, you know, the Warriors are going to come out in game 2 and play a lot better. So what are your predictions for game 2?
Well, I just want to say too, you know, before the last 26 seconds of overtime, only LeBron and Kevin Love had over 10 points. J.R. Smith had a late 3 to push him over 10, but, like, you know, no one in the Cavs, you know, like you said, you know, this was an outlier. Like, the Cavaliers should have won this game, and, this is going to hurt them. And my prediction for game two, I think the Warriors smoke them. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors won by 20-plus in game two.
The Warriors didn't have one 30-point quarter tonight, and that's going to change a game two. You know, we know they're going to pop off, obviously, in the first day at 29, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a 35, 40-point quarter just because they're so much more talented, unless the Cavs really slow it down to a snail's pace. But I agree. I think the Warriors are going to come out with a bang in game two and just kind of send a message like, all right, we probably should have played harder in game one, but tonight we're playing no games. And from the Cavs' perspective, you know, you win game one, then you only have to win one game of game three or four. Now you're pushing the series at least to six, and that's just giving you an opportunity. Now, right now, you lose the next one. You're probably only winning one in Cleveland. The series is essentially over.
Yeah, and I think if you win tonight, you know, it confuses the Warriors. I don't know if it makes the Warriors nervous, but it confuses them. What I mean by that is I think they question themselves. You know, it becomes, you know, like, are we this complacent now, or do we not have that spark? And then it becomes, you know, like between Kevin and Steph, you know, I don't know if it becomes this, but is it like, do they have an identity crisis on who's supposed to be running the show? I think if the Cavs won this game, it would have made the Warriors question themselves a lot more than obviously a loss in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it could have made them question themselves and cause issues later in the series, or it could have made them just, you know, turn up to the gear because this wasn't as well as they played in the last two games against Houston or as hard. But that wraps it up for today. As always, Corey, thank you for hopping on. Thank everybody for listening. Like I mentioned before, you can check out all the recaps on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, Google Play, and check us out at OGBasketball on Twitter for some great NBA giveaways.